The House is into day three of the debate, and in case you haven't been glued to C-SPAN, NPR's Mike Pesca has been watching for you. Today, he breaks down the arguments.
Representative Rick Keller of Florida, a Republican who is against the troop surge, knows that a good rhetorical technique is to use an analogy. Mr. Keller was careful not to get too abstract in this example of a neighbor who refused to mow his own lawn.
You decide you're going to mow his lawn for him every single week. The neighbor never says thank you. He hates you, and sometimes he takes out a gun and shoots at you. Under these circumstances, do you keep mowing his lawn forever? Do you send even more of your family members over to mow his lawn?
I mean, do you go with the mower you have or the mower you want? And did that patch of crabgrass meet with Mohammed Atta in Prague? All good questions, but for the most part, the arguments weren't of a horticultural nature. The resolution's opponents had a few main tacks. One was to assert that this was the first step towards defunding the troops. Ray LaHood of Illinois was one of more than a dozen Republicans to make this assertion.
This resolution is the bark. The real bite will be in 2 weeks when they trot out an appropriation bill that will cut off the funds to the troops.
Surge opponents constantly tried to rebut this charge, going back to the very first person to speak in the entire debate, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer of Maryland.
Some assert that this resolution is a first step to defunding our troops in the field. This is categorically false.
One recurring rhetorical gambit was for Republicans to lay out the stakes of this war. This often included lengthy histories of radical Islam. Missouri Republican Todd Akin said Americans were, quote, armed in the holy cause of liberty, and then drew upon a historical precedent that was mentioned a few times by other congressmen. Thomas Jefferson's standoff with the Barbary pirates, who, Akin told the House, killed in the name of the Quran.
Today we call our Marines leathernecks. The reason for that is they wore a heavy leather collar to diminish the odds that they would be beheaded by this enemy who has, to this day, at least fairly recently, still beheading Marines.
That's a tall tale, according to Dan Crawford, a historian at Quantico, who read to me from the Marine Officer's Guide, which says that the leather collar was simply meant to keep the head erect, not intact. The congressmen themselves will endeavor to keep their heads about them with, if the last 2 days are a guide, varying degrees of success. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.